Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Be here today, and I tell you, we've been looking forward to it for, well, since I felt led to call Brother Siegler and asked him to come and be with us. And we want to, come on, give him a hand. Hallelujah. And not only that, but we want to thank you for coming and give yourself a hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if any of you come from hearing us on the radio, and we thank you for coming, but you're not in a typical religious setting. If this is your first time, you're not in a typical religious setting. And I want to say, thank God. Because there's nothing religion about me. Hallelujah. But I am glad that you're here. And I know that when we leave here today, we're going to be blessed. When I say today, I'm referring to tonight, because we generally don't have a night service, but we're going to have one tonight. And he's going to be with us tonight speaking as well. And we're just looking forward to what God is going to be speaking. How many is here really believe that God is speaking? Amen. Oh, yeah. How many wants to hear God speak? I don't want to hear man. We hear enough of that. They got them all over this morning going on. I don't care nothing about hearing that. But I do want to hear God. I do want to hear God. Because when you hear God, you just get up. Everybody else can call your name, and you won't get up. Amen. Now, I'm not going to teach, but I tell you, Dr. Siegler, he's here. I'm ready to. I feel it. I love it. Amen. But anybody else can call your name? You ain't going to get up. I ain't talking about getting up in the morning at 7 o'clock.
No.
I am not talking about getting up in the morning at 7 o'clock to get ready to go to work. Or get ready to do your daily activity. That's not the getting up I'm talking about. Amen. You can hear husband or wife or my son every morning. Brother Siegler, come on and get ready. I'm on while he's coming. We're getting ready. I want to make a couple little things. But I call him every morning. I say, Joshua. Yes, Dad. It's time to get up and get ready. He hears me every morning. But see, that's wonderful, but there's another him that I don't even care about him hearing me. I want him to hear him. Amen. So I want him to hear. And that's what I want you this morning. I want you to hear him. Amen. I want you to hear him. Yes. And I believe that's why you're here today. Amen. Is to hear him. Everybody could pray for a Lazarus. Everybody could call Lazarus' name, and Lazarus laid there. But when he heard the voice, how many knows he didn't lay? He got up. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. And when we hear the voice, and I'm getting ready to hear, because God's going to speak through the man. But I want to also make this quick announcement. We're DVDing this. It's like television quality. You can take it home tonight service. And this morning's service will be put on one DVD. And you give, stand up, Kim. You give this lady your name and your address and all of that. And it's $20 for this morning and tonight on one DVD. You can go home, put it in your DVD player or your CD player. And you can listen to it over and over and over and see it live right on your television. So you give her your name if you want it at tonight's service. Give her your name or today's service, your name and your address. We can't give it to you today because my camera people back there has to take it and burn it on another one. And so if you like one, you see this young lady here, and she'll be glad to take your name, and we will get it to you. Amen? Give God.
Before I begin, I always forget to do this, so I want to do this first. As you come in the door out there, we put out a table full of books and tapes, and we brought those as our gift to you. So whatever you see out there, you're more than welcome to take. And if we run out, we've got lots more in our van, so just help yourself to anything out on that front table. I'd like to speak to you this morning about our spiritual potential. Our spiritual potential. God is really speaking today. And he's not just speaking in a man, but he's speaking in a body today. It's the voice as a sound of many waters. You see, I have a well of life in me. And you have a well of life in you. And the more we really learn how to sit in the quiet and not, what's the word I want to use, badger? For years I badgered God about all the things I needed and all the things that I wanted and all the problems that I could see in my life. And I spent so much time seeking God for things. But one day, I discovered, well, I didn't really discover. One day, God unveiled to me the reality of his substance within me. And once I realized that that's what the kingdom of God is all about, him unveiling you to the reality of his substance within you. And once that happened, and this happened, really it was a progression. A lot of people say it's a processing. I don't really care for the word processing. God really doesn't process us because we don't need processing. We need an unveiling. You see? You know, that's why the Apostle Paul could say things like, you are complete in him. Well, we look at ourselves and we say, that is no way. But that's the problem. You see, we look at ourselves instead of realizing one day the veils begin to be lifted from our eyes and we discover that all that we've read about in the scriptures, all that we've prayed for years, I prayed to be like Jesus. That was my goal. You know what? And even when I was praying for it, I never believed it was possible. For about 13 years, I prayed for that, never thinking that it was possible. But you know what? When we pray like that, we're praying from a human consciousness. We're trying to improve our human consciousness. You know, a psychologist will tell you, well, brother, if you have a poor self-image, then, you know, you come and through my counsel and you know, whatever, that I can change that poor self-image into a good self-image. That's not what I'm talking about. Because your good self-image is really no better than your bad self-image in the eyes of God. Now, it is better to have a good self-image than a bad self-image, but that's not the answer. You see, because we have a God image. When we discover that we have the substance of all that he is in our spiritual nature, we don't have to any longer try to improve our human nature. That old man, we call him. And no longer do we have a fall guy we call the devil to blame on our problems. I don't know about you, but I fought the devil for years. And one day I read, well, he has transferred you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. So, you know, those are nice words, but for, I don't know about you, but for me, for years I knew this, because I knew the scriptures from about 11 years old. But there was not much reality to that. But one day, I often say that, I love to remember this date, July 11th, 1982, after 13 years of crying and begging and struggling and striving against all the junk and the habits and things in my life, I woke up on July 11th, 1982, realizing that I was a new creation. And from that day to this, I have never had to try to be godly. I've never had to struggle with this old man. Now, I'm not saying I don't have problems. Don't misunderstand me. But you see, there has been a shift, and there is a shift taking place right now in our consciousness, bringing us up into a higher revelation, a higher understanding, and a broader vision of God's plan for all of creation. God has always had a plan. We can read in the Bible if you want to say there's no such thing as eternity past, but you could say from eternity past to eternity future, God has always had a plan. He's always had a purpose. And see, we come into this world really not knowing who we are. We really don't know. And see, that's the big difference between us and Jesus. Because when Jesus came, he knew who he was. And because he knew who he was, he knew his life substance, he knew that he was one with the Father, then he could do all that he did. Well, we don't have that privilege. Because when we're born into this world, we have no clue as to where we came from and why we're here. And so we're raised in this human consciousness, but yet inside of all of us, there is that spiritual man. And perhaps some live for many, 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 many years, never discovering the true being that lies dormant even today in most of creation. And it's called the seed of God. Well, one day, when I was about 29 years old, I had been searching for God from the time I was 11. But I'd been searching for him in the wrong place. I'd been trying to find the right church. I'd been trying to believe the right doctrine. I'd been trying to do, you know, the right things. But one day, somebody told me, the God that you're looking for is really inside of you. What a difference. So I'll never forget that day. I went home alone. I went into my bathroom. I knelt down in my bathroom and I said, Jesus, if this is true, come into me. Well, from that very moment, I began a journey. And for 13 years, my heart's cry was to be like Jesus. And most of the time, I was just the opposite. But I learned through many, many hours of intimate fellowship with my Father, I discovered that he had unlimited love for me, unlimited compassion, and an unlimited forgiveness. But still, for 13 years, I struggled, not understanding that what I needed was a change in focus, a change in consciousness. So when this substance of his life began to arise in me, that's when I woke up on July 11th, 1982. And one of the big things in my life for those 13 years was smoking. Now today, it probably wouldn't bother me at all, but back then is when I was in a lot of the holiness movements and things, and so I was told that I can't even, hardly, you can't fellowship with God with sin in your life. And so I knew that wasn't true because I did it every day. I had a lot of sin, what we call sin, in my life for 13 years. Yet every day of my life, I started my day in fellowship with my Father. I started my day asking Him for His guidance, asking Him for enlightenment, asking Him for the authority, the ability to become a son of God. But you see again, that's coming from the wrong consciousness. Because in truth, in reality, I already was a son. But I did not know that this nature, this substance of God within me was my true nature and identity. I thought I had to take this human consciousness and make it more righteous, make it better, clean it up. Well, that's what religion does. But I found out that no matter how much that I was able to do, no matter how many sins I was able to overcome, I was always miserable because there was always something in my life that I needed to deal with. Because you cannot ever stand with a human consciousness and feel justified before God. But once that revelation comes, once the unveiling comes, my, what a difference. You know, the whole Bible is an unveiling of Jesus Christ, not just revelation. I often say, you know, brother, if you really want to know where Jesus Christ is, if you really want to have a revelation of Him, you have to know where He is. And most people that get into the book of Revelation still have in their explanation a God up there somewhere who's waiting to come to earth. And when He does, you better look out. Because if you're a rascal, we've taken the whole book of Revelation and made it look like God was angry, He was mad, and He was coming with a vengeance. Yet the whole book of Revelation is about the unveiling of Jesus Christ. And He is in His holy temple. Yes, yes, yes. Now, you not only need to interpret the book of Revelation that way, you need to interpret the whole Bible that way, as an unveiling from Genesis to Revelation is an unveiling of Jesus Christ. But it's also an unveiling of the Antichrist. Two men being revealed in the Bible. Two men. One is the human who lives in a human consciousness. Now, he may be born again. He may be filled with the Spirit, speak in tongues, go to church, clap, laugh, and sing, but still operate out of a human carnal consciousness. Perhaps he isn't a very, perhaps he's overcome all the wicked things in his life, and he's what I call, he's now on the good side of the tree. That's still not what God is after. So the unveiling of Jesus Christ, especially in the book of Revelation, is an unveiling of Christ within the believer, within the temple. So when you see all of those things that we interpreted before as things coming against the sinners and God putting the plagues out and all that, this is all about what's happening on the inside of you. And the battle of Armageddon is the last battle, and that's the battle that will totally wipe out your carnal mind. And the seven seals in Revelation is all about an unveiling and a revealing of each one of those seals within you. The seven seals in Revelation are all on the inside of us. Have you ever considered, brother, that you have a seal over your mind? As long as you are living out of a human consciousness, that seal is unbroken. And no matter how hard you try to be a Christian, it will never work. That's why all of us come to the place where we say, oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this? And right away we have a vision of Jesus Christ as a man who lived in full awareness and consciousness of being a son of God. So that seal begins to break on your in your mind. And then we do as the scriptures told us to do, we put on the mind of Christ. If you think for a moment, what do you suppose the mind of Christ was like? Now, let's go to Jesus. What was his mind like? Did he know sickness? Did he know disease? Did he know all of the things that we know in the natural? And the reason that he did what he was able to do is because when he seen something like that, he knew the truth. He knew that you weren't a cripple. He knew the truth. And so today there are people all over the world that are being awakened. A lot of people don't like that word awakened. But the scriptures are full of what's the word I want to use? Admonition for us to awake to righteousness. In fact, the Apostle Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. Well, we look at it in a wrong way, and all we can hear is sin not. But yet, if you understand what the Apostle Paul is saying, he's saying if you awake to righteousness, you won't sin. Because when you awake to righteousness, you put on the mind of Christ. And then that seal that's over your mind is broken. And that's why all the warfare comes against the mind. Many of the trials, the tribulations, the heartaches, the hardships that come to you is to break down that natural mind until you realize that you have the mind of Christ and you can stand and you can live on this earth and walk in this earth with the mind of Christ. And then you're able to minister. And then that seal comes off of your throat. You've all had this experience. I had it for many years. That you may know these wonderful things and perhaps have experienced some wonderful things, but when you try to speak about it, you don't have the expression. Well, see, when that seal comes off of your throat, you're able to express all that he is. And you know that when you speak, there is no self-confidence, but there's just a knowing. There's a knowing that as I speak, the Spirit within me will speak. And as I speak, my words are as the words of Jesus that give spirit and life. And the words that I speak, the words that you speak, enter into the heart of man and begin to penetrate that seed. See, for many years, I don't know about you, but for many years, I did not realize that every human being had that seed in them. But I would read things like in John, the first chapter, where it says Jesus was the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And then we go into Proverbs, I think it's 20:27, that says the spirit of man is the light or the candle of the Lord. So this begins to give us a totally different concept of humanity when you understand this. And then you can stand as the Apostle Paul did in the consciousness of God, knowing that in all of creation there lies a seed. Perhaps unregenerated, perhaps dormant, But we can speak to the seed. Now, we don't speak to the sinner. I think we've come to church long enough and heard about how sinful we are. But see, when we come to church now and today, in places like this, we discover that we have the seed of his life within us. And every seed, this is a law of the universe, every seed produces what it is. So that's why, again, there's two men on the earth. There's the natural man, the human carnal consciousness, and then there's the God consciousness, the seed of Christ, the spiritual man that we are. And the whole Bible, again, is an unveiling of these two seeds. Whichever seed, whichever mindset, whichever consciousness you focus on is what will continue to grow in you and be your experience. So the Lord, by his Spirit, in these days is more than ever before given us a clear unveiling that we are the seed of God on this earth. We don't need to be taught. You know, when you plant a seed in the ground, do you get your books out and go out there and try to teach that? Now, you know, seed, you know you're supposed to be an ear of corn. Do we do that? What do? We water the seed. You know, we plant it in good soil. The sun comes out, the heat, the pressure, the pain that comes against the seed to break the shell of the outer man that Christ may come forth within the seed. So that seed does not need to be taught. That seed needs to be watered. Well, how does that happen? When we get together and we fellowship together, perhaps you get together in your homes and you begin to speak to one another and you begin to encourage one another. That's how you water the seed. It needs no teaching whatsoever. It needs water. And taking the time in our daily lives to sit in the presence and in the wonderful quietness and quiet our busy minds until we begin to hear the voice of God. I love to share about the believer's anointing because all of us have an anointing. All of us. In 1 John it says, you have an anointing and you know all things. That's 1 John, what, 2? I don't remember exactly. I think it's in the second verse. But he says, you have an anointing and you know all things. Well, I had to question that because I read something like that, and I certainly don't know all things. But again, what consciousness are we operating out of? See, that's the key. So I've discovered that I really do know all things, but I know them as I need to know them. Whatever I need in this life, in this present moment, whatever I need will come to me, whether it's knowledge or whether it's substance, whether it's finances, whatever we need. We have everything when we walk in a God awareness or God consciousness. We have all things in abundance. So that seed will reproduce what it is. Now, all of us have been waiting, I don't know how long, perhaps some of us all of our lives have been waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, have we not? I think we've misinterpreted that just a little bit. I say the sons of God need to step out from behind the veil and reveal to the world the life, the nature, the compassion, the loveliness of who they are. I studied the tabernacle for a long time. You know, about how we start in the outer court and we enter into the holy place. And then hopefully one day, if we live long enough, we'll step into that most holy place, and then we'll have it made. Wrong consciousness. Now, that has been our experience. That was my experience. That first of all, I realized I thought God was outside of me. And when I got saved or regenerated or born again, I thought God came into me. And then later on in my experience, I discovered the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so then I realized, you know, that God began, at least in a small way, began to function in my consciousness. But there was still what we call me and God in this temple. And mostly me and a little bit of God. So I think about those 13 years, I was struggling to get in, because I knew if I walked into that most holy place, that then there was nothing but God. That Gary would be no more. My personality, my human consciousness would be no more. And there was times when I entered into that realm. There were times when I was so caught up in the Spirit that I literally would be before the presence of God in whatever you want to call heaven, wherever that is. I have been in that kind of presence. But it didn't last. And so all of my praying and all of my seeking was to get in there and stay there. Well, what the Lord revealed to me one day is that when I experienced those times of that oneness with God and being in that most holy place where there was no thoughts of my humanity, there was no thoughts of my failure, there was no thoughts of anything but God, what the Lord revealed to me was that you had entered into that God consciousness. And that I needed to stop trying to enter there, because that was where I actually, that was my being. That was my spiritual nature. I am in the most holy place. Flesh and blood will never enter that place. But I, when I say I mean my spiritual being, my spiritual nature. I am in the most holy place. I live in the most holy place. And so when that begins to dawn within your consciousness, then you realize that you're on the earth as a representative, as a manifestation, as a son of God. And we need to step out from behind that veil and let the world see what they're longing for. They need to see a people on the earth who have unconditional love and acceptance. They need to see people on this earth who will not judge them according to the flesh. You see, we've known for years that the Apostle Paul said to judge no man after the flesh. Well, what does that mean? Preachers haven't known what it meant. I'll tell you that most of them haven't. Because they will look at a prostitute and call them a prostitute. They will look at a homosexual and call them a homosexual. They will look at any manner of people and judge them according to what they are doing. You know what I discovered? What they're doing doesn't change who they are. See, they are just as precious. In everyone is the most preciousness, the essence, the being, the nature of all that God is. So you see, if I meet a prostitute, I know how to speak to her. I know how to, and you do too, know how to speak to the seed that is in her. You think we need to tell a sinner they shouldn't be sinning? Well, I knew that for 13 years, and I had preachers tell me I was going to hell. I had preachers tell me that God couldn't help me until I was able to quit all this nonsense that I was doing. It didn't help me any. You know what helped me? when God revealed to me that what I was doing did not change who I was. See, God knows who you are. God knows that you were sent to this earth with a mission. You say, me? Absolutely. Every one of us was sent to earth with a mission. What is that mission? To reveal to the world the loveliness of their Father. Amen. To reveal to the world that He is not holding them accountable. That Calvary, if anyone feels guilty at all they need to do is understand Calvary. And they will be loosed from that guilt. But you see, we've had a mixed gospel among us. On one hand, we talk of Calvary and of the loveliness of God and of the forgiveness of God and the unconditional love of God. But on the other hand, we put the responsibility on the human man to be holy, to be righteous, to be obedient. When you really have an unveiling of the Christ within you, the Apostle Paul said it probably better than anyone. When it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, then I went and preached. Well, folks, that's not intellectual knowledge. When Paul said, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, he's not talking about an intellectual knowledge. All those 13 years I struggled, I knew intellectually Jesus was in me because that's what I was taught. And I experienced it to a degree. But knowledge will never satisfy us. But thank God, the reality of His life in us is coming into fullness in these days. And if we will just understand that there is nothing, I'm going to share more of this later tonight and show you scripturally. There is nothing that can stop God from manifesting in your life. There is something that will hinder it a little, and that's your carnal mind. See, we just can't believe that God is so good. Do you mean that God overlooks my sin? Absolutely. That's what Calvary says. Well, brother, it says in the scripture, it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment. And then we hear all of this guilt and stuff thrown on us about someday we'll stand before that God who will judge us for our sin. And we make it a frightful thing. But they only quote part of the scripture. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But Christ was offered to bear the sin. It is appointed unto man once to die. You died 2,000 years ago. That's what Calvary's all about. The judgment that you think you may someday stand before God to be judged for your sin, that took place 2,000 years ago. And that's why Paul so eloquently says that even when you were dead in sin and trespasses, God has made you alive together with Him and seated you in heavenly places. That's in the book of Ephesians. Oh, when this dawns on us, when the truth of these words dawn within our consciousness, in our awareness. Even before we were born, we were forgiven. Even before we entered into this realm, 2,000 years ago, you were judged, the old man was crucified, and we were made alive. We were raised up with Christ. Raised up with the mind of Christ and seated in heavenly places. Well, look at us. Do we really know that? Do we really know that? You can. You can know just as sure as You see, for years, I never had to try to be a human being. It was natural. I didn't know that I was born on this earth with the incorruptible seed planted on the inside of me. I didn't know that. And so I was told I was a human being. I was separated and alienated from God, that I was sinful, and that consciousness of that human fallen being, I accepted. Well, we'd have to. We don't know anything else. And so, therefore, we live all of our lives, most of us never knowing that that life is a lie. That was the beast that was wounded, and yet he lives. Wounded unto death, and yet he lives. The beast in Scripture is always the carnal human nature. See? And that beast was wounded at Calvary, yet he lives. Why does he live? Because we believe a lie. And we experience a lie. And it's not our fault. I'm not saying it's your fault. It's because we believe what we've been taught. And so there's something in us. I remember as a young child, there was something in me that longed to know God. But yet, I got so caught up in religion, believing what I was told, that there was times when I felt so alienated and separated from God because I smoked and I did this and I did that and I did all these things I wasn't supposed to do. And then every preacher I would go to would do nothing but say, well, it's your choice. It's your choice. You want to go to hell? It's your choice. Until the day that my eyes were unveiled to the truth of God being my Father.
Amen.
Never forget the day he said to me, Gary, you are my idea. I brought you forth. And as your Father, it is my responsibility to do in you what I want you to do. And if I don't do it, if I don't take the responsibility to make you into my son, what I want you to be, then I'd be an irresponsible parent. So don't worry about your condition, folks. Don't worry about what you can't do. Know that it is God working in you both to will and to do. You see, we've been trying to do the willing and the doing with our human consciousness. But it's God who does the willing and the working in you. So, wow, what a load that took off of my shoulders when I realized that I wasn't responsible to be a manifestation of God on the earth. Not my responsibility, because I can't do it. But when I change my focus and I realize with everything within me that I am a seed of God on this earth, and that seed in me will reproduce everything that God is. Everything. And we haven't really understood God. We thought he was kind of a wonder and wonderful. But on the other hand, if we weren't the right kind of people, he turned into an angry, vengeful, wrathful God who would perhaps alienate us forever from his presence. So if you don't understand that that is a false, that is just as much a false God as going out here and worshiping an idol. You see, because a false image is not necessarily a statue that you build and worship. It's a false concept of God that you worship. And some people delight in this God of wrath because they feel like there are people who deserve the wrath of God. That's definitely a human consciousness. Because God is nothing but love. I've been telling people recently, there's only two things that God will do for you. He'll love you and he'll bless you. Now, this doesn't depend on what you do. This is God's nature. God's nature is to love you and to bless you. Now, there is a severity in love. When you begin to walk in a wrong direction, I was told that God won't go against your will. So if you turn back and walk away from him, then it's pretty much hopeless for you because he won't go against your will. Oh, my God. If that was true, none of us would make it. The best example we have of that, of God going against your will, is Jonah. Jonah said, no, God, I'm not going there. I ain't doing that. What did God do? He swallowed him up with a whale. Do you say you really believe that literally? It doesn't matter. See, I believe it in principle. You know whether those things are literal or true or not? It doesn't matter to me. I wouldn't argue about that. Ah, but it's the principle. Because I've been swallowed up by a whale. In those 13 years that I was struggling, many times I would get so discouraged. I've spent days, you know, everything I could do to get up and go to work. I just wanted to cover up and hide. And sometimes that would get so difficult that I would just say, God, you have to leave me alone. Please leave me alone. He'd just say, it's too late. So there is a severity in love. But it's not an anger, it's not a vengeful, it's not wrathful, it's simply an unconditional love saying, I love you enough that no matter what you do, I love you enough that I will not let you go. I'll raise up any circumstances in your life that you need to cause you to realize that you're walking in the wrong direction. The most wonderful life in the world when we have a revelation of this unconditional love of God. You can't do anything that would cause God to give up on you. Would you give up on your kids? God never gives up on us. He will continually work in us until that seed in us reproduces everything that he is. And you know, most of us, even today, really don't have a full revelation of what a manifested Son of God would look like. We have some concepts, but I believe today that someone can be in our midst and be a manifestation of God, and we wouldn't recognize them. Because our concept is such that they would be perfect, that even their physical being may be different than what we expect. There's a substance today in the voices that are being raised up amongst us. And nothing... I'll tell you, when this substance is formed in us, you realize that you never again, I shouldn't say never again, I'll say this is our experience. We never have to ask God for anything. In fact, it doesn't enter my consciousness any longer to ask God to do something for me. Why is that? Because we know that we cannot have a need that he doesn't fill. Now, do we have everything we want? No, but we have everything we need. Amen. And so we don't have to go on all of these things that people do to manipulate the saints of God to help us do what we need to do, if you understand what I'm saying. Folks, all of us, all this takes, this revelation of being a son of God and begin to walk in the reality of it, all it takes is your time and the busyness of your life to stop and to just, if nothing else, say, God, is it really possible today for me to live in the kingdom of God right now? Is it really possible that I can have everything that I need without effort? There's nothing at all wrong with getting alone with God and ask Him questions. I found out many things by asking God questions. I could never reconcile for years a loving God with the God who would eternally let somebody be tormented. I struggled with that for years until one day God revealed to me the answer. And then later on, I met other people who had the same understanding. And I think one of our biggest problems is that we believe what we've been taught. And if you believe what you've been taught and you've been taught wrong, it's pretty hard to get out of that. Because even if you're raised a communist, I often say that if you were raised, here's a good example of us judging by the flesh. If you were raised in the culture and under the auspices of Osama bin Laden, and you were raised and you were reared and you were trained up underneath that consciousness and that mindset, you very well may have flown those planes into the two towers. Very possible. So that's a very good example about judging according to the flesh. Those men were only doing what they believed. How could you get anybody to blow themselves up? I mean, to us, it's unthinkable. But from a child, as you're raised that way, and you're taught that way, and you have these beliefs in your mind of what the reward you're going to get for doing that, then you probably would have blown yourself up too. So we must stop judging the world by the flesh, by what we see. Because when we do that, that doesn't mean that we don't, you know, that the people must pay. If you go against the laws of God and man, we must perhaps lock you away somewhere, but we still can minister to you according to what we know the truth is. We can minister through the seed of His life that's in you. And if our prisons and institutions were like that, people all over the world would be set free from those places. One of our books got into I have a book out there called Coming Out of Condemnation, and that got into a mental institution, and a person just by reading that book was restored whole. Because really, that's all of our problems, is we're operating out of the wrong mind. All of us, if you're not operating out of the mind of Christ, you are out of your mind. If you're operating out of the carnal mind, you are out of your mind. And when you're operating out of the mind of Christ, that is when you will begin to experience all of these things that you know we should be experiencing. I'm going to close for now. But tonight I really want to bring out some scripture that will really help you understand what I'm saying this morning. So anyway, Ron. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you. So good, Brother Sigler. God is speaking. There's so much was just going through my mind. And you that attend here every week, wasn't that a confirmation in what God has been speaking to us? And I was thinking so much as I was sitting there. And He hit one particular thing, and you looked at me, Dick, and concerning Jonah and the whale. And boy, I sure have been there. Amen. Where the word whale is really not the right translation. It's actually sea monster. And I'm going to tell you, I have been swallowed up by many of my sea monsters. But oh, thank God I was able to hear. Hallelujah. I was able to, that word repent means to change your thinking. I've changed my thinking many times. Amen. After my whale swallowed me up, my old monster swallowed me up and over the 32 years that I've been ministering. But I tell you, it was awesome to hear God speak to us this morning and it was just good. I don't have, it's just good to sit and listen and hear what God is saying. And for all of you this morning, the whole book, God's all about two seeds. That's all about that. I remember many, many years ago when I taught that all over the country. He's all about just two seeds. That's all it is. The whole thing is two. Now I went to when he was mentioning it in Luke concerning the Bible said two men in the same bed. Those two atoms. Amen. How God became the first Adam so that he could destroy him. Somebody ought to say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Destroyed him so that he no longer exists. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. I'm going to hush. Hallelujah. I feel the teacher and I'm going to hush. Hallelujah, because I tell you, I love it. I mean, I know I was telling Brother Siegler in the back, the Lord's been having me up about 3:30, 4 o'clock every morning, and I have a place I go and meditate, and he spoke to me just about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago concerning opening the book. Opening the book. Opening the word. Opening the seed. Amen. The book is the word, and the word is the seed, and God's the life that's on the inside the seed. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Confirming the three consciousnesses that you and I have to deal with that we've been teaching here for the past month or so. The earth conscious, the heaven conscious, and the God conscious. Amen. Ain't God good? Bless the man this morning. Father, we thank you for the word that we heard. We thank you, Father, that we're going to just give out of love and we're going to give the best gift that we can do. And whatever that is, we're going to receive it into the kingdom of God. And Father, as I tell folks here, we're not given to a man. We're not given to a system, but we are given to the anointing. We're giving to the word, to the kingdom of God. So we're going to plant this into the kingdom, that the anointing, and that's going to bring forth life. So Father, today, bless it. And again, we thank you for the man who spoke through us today. We appreciate it. And everybody said, amen.
When all I would do is forever, forever worship you.